Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And I will tell you that starting out the week, it wasn't really at the end of last week while I was on vacation, my intention to preach from here in Philippians. But when you know it, when God wants you to preach on something, he makes it very clear to me. And somebody for Christmas gave me a book called Anxious for Nothing by Max Lucado, and I thought, well, that's a good read, and I read the first chapter, and in that first chapter were these verses. Then the next day while I was on vacation, someone had given me a morning devotion book, and same verses, same thought, and I thought, well, maybe God's trying to tell me something. Turned on the radio, song based on this passage was on there. I thought, all right, God, I'm not that thick-headed. You don't have to keep telling me in that many ways, because it is Epiphany Sunday, where we celebrate the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And that was my full intent, was to preach that. But the Lord said, I want you to preach this. And so that's where we find ourselves this morning. So we're looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. I included in the newsletter article about this morning's message an amazing statistic that I'm going to share with you again this morning. And that is, do you know that the United States is now the most anxious nation in the world? Because of this achievement, we spend more than $300 billion every year on everything from medical bills to lost productivity. Max Lucado says, for all of our comforts, we have become most uncomfortable. And he even cited that immigrants who moved to this country, who were less stressed out before they came here, immediately began to feel anxiety upon becoming American citizens. So shouldn't that tell us something? That we're not doing something right. I like what Billy Graham had to say about this. He said, though we have less to worry about than previous generations, we have more worry. Though we have it easier than our forefathers, we have more uneasiness. Though we have less real cause for anxiety than our predecessors, we are inwardly more anxious. Anxiety, if we could wish it away, wouldn't we all want to do so? Who's ever felt anxious? Who's ever been consumed by worry? And how many of us wish we could just say goodbye to it forever? Anxiety is like a thick fog. If you've ever driven through the fog, you know how awful it can be, and sometimes you can barely see in front of you. Well, did you know that a thick, dense fog that covers a 7-city blocks and is 100 feet deep is only composed of less than a glass of water that is divided into 60 million drops? Think about that. All that fog, one glass of water divided into 60 million parts, and we can't see anything, and it can cripple a whole city. That's kind of how anxiety works, right? Anxiety can overcome you so quickly, so powerfully, that all you want to do is shut the door to the world and not even leave your house. One of my sisters has struggled with anxiety for years, and so I've worked with her and prayed with her, and every morning she'll call me and pray on her way to school. And she's made great strides in dealing with anxiety by trusting more and more in Christ. But anxiety, we wish it was something we could just snap our fingers, right? And it disappear. But oftentimes it's a daily battle. It's a moment by moment battle. It's a minute by minute battle that can come and to take us weigh heavily on our hearts and weigh heavily on our spirit. So how do we know if we are struggling with anxiety? For some of us, it's easier to tell, right? But for others, maybe we're struggling with it and we don't even know. In Max Lucado's book, Anxious for Nothing, he lists several signals we should look for to see if we are dealing with anxiety. I list five. He lists eight, but I'm only going with five of them. The first one is this: you laugh less than you once did. That means you're probably anxious about something. I can remember a time in my life where I was going through hard times and I became very worried and very anxious, and my friends literally noticed that my joy was missing. That had been drained from my life because I laughed less. Another thing he says is, you see problems in every promise. Whether that promise is from people or whether that promise is from God, you see the problems in every promise. It's hard for you to buy into what anyone is telling you. Number three, you are increasingly negative and critical. How many of us have fallen into this trap? I had to quit watching the news, Missy will tell you, because I was becoming too negative and too cynical. And I looked in the mirror and I said, that is not the person that God created me to be. That is not the person that I'm meant to be. That's not the person that I want to be. So you know what? I'm going to turn that television off. And I'm going to do what the latter part of this message says, to focus on that which is good, just, admirable, and holy. And it's made a big difference in my heart and in my life. Fourthly, you assume something bad is going to happen. You're always waiting for that shoe to drop. You're always anticipating that if trouble could come your way, it will find you every time. And then number five, you dilute and downplay good news. Maybe the best thing that could have happened to you happened last week, and it gets downplayed because you're anxious about something else. Because something else is keeping you up at night. Because something else is worrying you. So what, if anything, can we do to unload this burden of anxiousness? If you're like me and long for some answers on this matter, you're not alone. And the good news is, the Apostle Paul shares us God's heart on the matter in these verses. And he gives us some keys to being anxious for nothing. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So let's explore it together. Anxiety gets replaced with peace when we praise God's sovereignty. The higher your view of God, the less anxious you will become. If you believe that God is sovereign over the whole universe and every single part of your life, and you commit that memory, that thought to your heart, to your mind, you memorize scripture that contains references to his sovereignty, the higher your view of God, the more freedom you will have from anxiety. Now, notice what I said, more freedom. Nothing I offer today is going to be some magic solution to take away anxiety and worry. Okay? I don't make that claim. Paul doesn't make that claim. In fact, the language that he uses implies that you do this over and over and over again. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. I will say it again, rejoice. Why on earth would he say that command back to back twice for the third time in this short letter to the church in Philippi? Three commands in two chapters, two of them in the same verse. Why would he do that? Most think it's because the conditions in Philippi were so bad that the command to rejoice in the Lord didn't make any sense. Because they were being persecuted so severely, because they were being turned away from by their society for their faith. because they were being shut out even sometimes by people living right next to them. They struggled. And he says against that backdrop, worship, rejoice, be with God. I think it would be helpful for us to know that when Paul wrote these words, does anybody know where he was? Prison. In prison, he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I think for a lot of us, anxiety can feel like a prison. And against that backdrop, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. A.W. Tozer once said this about God's sovereignty. He said that if there's anybody in this world of sinful men that should be restful and peaceful in an hour like this, it should be Christians. We should not be under the burden of apprehension and worry, because we are the children of God who is always free to do as he pleases. There is no rope or chain that hinders him, because he is absolutely sovereign. Do you believe that this morning? What would happen if you spent more time worshiping than worrying? What if instead of being anxious about what you cannot do, you praise God for what he can do? That's the first step to finding that peace that Paul speaks of. And I believe you begin to experience it. That leads into our second thought. Anxiety gets replaced with peace when we expect God's participation. All right, it's one thing to believe that God is sovereign. It is quite another to expect him to come down into your life and to get involved. Notice what Paul goes on to say. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do you believe the Lord is near this morning? What would it mean to your life if you lived like the Lord was near this morning? Now, it might seem a little strange to us. Why on earth, why this little sidebar about gentleness? Why would he say, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near? The reason is pretty simple. Because if we don't think that God is near, if we don't think that the sovereign creator of the universe will come down and help us out, what does that mean for our own lives? That we've got to take control. That we've got to do everything in our power in every moment of our lives. And sometimes that might mean not being gentle. Sometimes that might mean tearing things down. Sometimes that might mean being rash. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all, because the more we trust that God is with us, the more gentle we can be. This is a call to take our high gear minds, which are always questioning, judging, and filled with unkind thoughts, to the presence of God. This is a character trait that controls our capacity for rage and activates our capacity for love. It's hard for me to get on Facebook. I only do it because I'm a pastor. If I wasn't a pastor, I wouldn't touch it. Because I see so much meanness on there. And I see people fighting. Good people. And I just shake my head, and I keep coming back to, let your gentleness be evident before all. And I struggle. Because we live in a world that sometimes isn't so gentle. And that's why Paul ended that verse by saying the Lord is near. Believe that. Receive that. You see, when you believe that God is not just a power on high, but also is a participant in daily life, you can be gentle. God's presence helps you to exercise restraint, approach others with kindness, and be prompted by love. Isn't this what Jesus said about himself? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, for I am gentle. I am gentle and humble in heart. How blessed would we be and dealing with our worries and our anxiety, to follow the example of our Savior, and to remember that He is near, that He who calls us never leaves us, that He who guides us never abandons us. Thirdly, anxiety gets replaced with peace when we appeal for God's help. Now, I want you to know there's a difference between believing God is sovereign, believing He'll participate in your life, and actually calling upon the name of the Lord. There is a big difference between those. And this isn't some sort of little prayer that we make at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, oh Lord, be with me today and watch over this and watch over that. No, this is serious prayer before the Lord. This is the kind of prayers that people make in desperate situations. This is the kind of praying that's about bringing your life before God, examining your dependence upon God, placing your life in God's hands, and celebrating what God has done, and asking Him for specific help. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years of my life that think that things are too small for God to get involved in. You ever heard anybody talk like that? I won't pray about that. I won't take that to God. That matter's too small for Him. I want you to know there is no matter too small. God says take everything before Him by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you grabbed that anxious thought, stopped it in its tracks, took it to your Father in heaven, and said, Lord, I need you here. Lord, I need you now. I need you in this very moment. This is how we invite God into our anxiety. And if we're tired of being controlled by anxiety, one of the best things that we can do is to bring our anxious concerns before God, moment by moment, minute by minute. That leads us to the next thing. Anxiety gets replaced with peace when we contain our concerns in Christ. It's not just about asking God for help. It's about then turning over that concern to God. And there is a big difference there. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, you leave that anxious thought with God, and He will guard and protect your thoughts. He will guard and protect your hearts. And He will grant you peace in that matter. See, most of us pray like this. Lord, I need your help. Here's what's concerning me. Take it from me. But I'm still going to worry about it till you do. Right? Isn't that what most of us do? It's like we're saying, here, God, take this while we snatch it back with this hand. And it's bigger than, is it a trouble we're having in faith? It could be for some people, but that's not always the case. It could be that we're just so used to worrying about something. We're so used to being anxious that we can't let it go. Because if we let it go, that makes us anxious in a whole different way. Right? And so we struggle. And we struggle to find that peace because we keep grabbing back from God the very thing that we're taking to Him. And He says, I'm ready to guard your heart. I'm ready to guard your mind with my peace if you would but leave your cares with me. I think there's a reason we are told to be still and know that He is God. To just rest in His presence. One of the biggest drawbacks to anxiousness is that it's hard to rest anywhere. Even in the presence of God. But when we do, when dealing with anxiety and anxious thoughts, when we rest in the presence of God, we always come out blessed. Now, This is something that you don't just do one time. This is something that you do over and over and over again throughout your day. Whatever's weighing on your heart, whatever makes you anxious, you might have to pray about it every minute. You might have to leave it at His feet every second. But eventually those seconds become minutes, those minutes become hours, those hours become a day. And you find yourself walking in peace that you didn't even know was possible. It's an invitation for us to trust God and leave our cares with Him. To allow the Holy Spirit to then begin to work on those things that makes us anxious. Too often we're not at a place where the Holy Spirit can even operate because we're so filled with worry. And we feel so broken and so anxious that God, we can't be still long enough for Him to tear out the weeds in our hearts. And God says, just stop. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, said it like this: let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hands. And then, when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. What a thought that is. How many of us would love to do that this morning? And that leads us to our last thought. Anxiety gets replaced with peace when we entertain only godly thoughts. Now, I realize the enemy's going to be at work and he's going to try and get you to entertain. And by entertain, I mean dwell on. I mean focus on. Okay? We can't help the thoughts that might enter into our minds for a second, but we can help what we do with them. And we can reject them in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul finishes out. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then he finishes by saying, do what you see me do. There's a reason why Paul said, I've learned the secret to being content, whether I'm in chains or whether I'm free, whether I have plenty or whether I'm in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The more he focused on that, the less anxious he became. If anybody had a reason to be anxious in his life, it's the Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, people were trying to kill him. They thought they had accomplished it when they stoned him. And yet he slipped away. The threat of jail, being in jail, always chased him. And he said, I'm ready to go. Wherever, whatever lot Christ has for me, I'm his servant. And he entertained only those thoughts which focused on him. How many of us would be blessed this morning if we would guard what came into our minds? If we would guard what we allow to enter into our hearts? I would say all of us. All of us. If maybe we would turn off the televisions, or if we would stop, maybe even for a day, hearing everything bad going on in the world, and start looking for the good. To fill our hearts and minds with God's word instead of the world's rants. How blessed would we be? Anxiety is something that touches us all, whether we like to admit it or not. The only difference between somebody who battles anxiety and somebody who looks like they don't, it's the person who looks like they don't is way better at hiding it. That's it. We all have worries. We all have things that might wake us up, and if we entertain those thoughts, might make us weak. The invitation of this verse is simple. Bring it to God. Bring it to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to realize that this is not some futile exercise. that the Apostle Paul is calling us to this morning. But help us to experience the blessings that come from taking anything and everything to you in prayer. Lord, forgive us for all the wasted moments where we've been overcome, where we've been trying to handle things on our own. And instead, Lord, help us to have the humility to lay ourselves, our very lives down before you, and to leave with you all that would hinder us. This is our hope, and this is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.